really pleased to welcome to the microphone Jennifer Cheverini of Middleton, and she is the author of the Elm Creek Quilt series of books. I tell you what, a series that I've come to enjoy. I think I've read every one. There's 12 novels and three collections of quilt projects inspired by the series. Jennifer is also the designer of the Elm Creek Quilts fabric lines from Red Rooster Fabrics. And she will be appearing at Barnes & Noble on Mineral Point Road in Madison tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you're in the Madison area, great chance to meet her. And she'll also be at Harry W. Schwartz Bookstore in Brookfield tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So if you're in the Brookfield area, another chance to meet up with her and talk with her about the quilting series and also about her, obviously, about her latest book. And, of course, if you aren't able to do that, you can talk with her right now. Give her a call. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. And the Madison area reaches at 263-1890. Give us a call if you had questions and comments about the series, about quilts. We'd love to hear from you. And Jennifer, it's great to see you again.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
And I tell you, I have to admit, I only got the book yesterday. So I read through the first 75 pages or so, and I'll probably finish the rest of it up tonight.
That's further than my husband's gotten, so and other family members, so.
Well, I tell you what.
So don't feel too bad.
This one's called The Winding Ways Quilt. And why The Winding Ways?
Well, in this story, I talk a lot about how some of the founding members of the group are leaving, and some newcomers are coming in, and they're trying to find their place in the circle of quilters. And I also talk about how a lot of the familiar characters that we've known all along first fell in love with quilting, what it was about the quilting art that spoke to them, what it was that made them decide to pursue it, and how they came to be beginners, and in some cases not really all that fond of quilting, to strong advocates for quilters in the quilting art today, and all the strange, circuitous paths that each of them followed, both to learn about quilting and then eventually to end up as friends together at Elm Creek Manor.
Yeah, it's a great story, and I was able to read about Judy and her son. That was a fascinating story. You know, you feel like you get to know these people pretty well, and obviously you must feel like they're almost old friends for you.
Yes, once someone was telling me that they had a friend named Sarah, and I almost said, yeah, I have a friend named Sarah too. And I remember, yes, but she's fictional. She's my imaginary friend. So yeah, I've been writing about these characters, not all of them, but the central core group since 1996 when I first started the first book. So they've been with me, with me longer than my children, and longer than a lot of friends that I have today. So I do feel like I know them pretty well by now. But still, there's a lot that I haven't shared with readers. And when I was writing a previous book, when I introduced new characters, I told readers about how those new characters became quilters. And it was while writing that book, Circle of Quilters, that it occurred to me that I hadn't shared that kind of history about a lot of the characters who've been with us since the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I decided it was about time I did that.
Well, I think it was a good decision, a very good choice. You know, we've talked about this on other visits to the program, but with your series, you start, and maybe you could go back for those who haven't heard this the story before. You sort of jump back and forth, or you have jumped back and forth in time. Now, this book is sort of a picking up where the other book left off, but you've jumped back and forth. And how did that happen to come to be?
Well, when I wrote my first book, The Quilter's Apprentice, I had no idea that it was going to be the first book of a series. I thought it was going to be a standalone novel, and then, like other writers, I'd move on to other topics that interest me. But I was fortunate that the story was well-received, and people fell in love with the characters and wanted to see more of them, so I wrote what I thought was just a sequel. But readers wanted more, and my publishers wanted more, so I came out with a third book. And it was at that point that I finally realized I was writing a series. I guess I'm a little slow. And after that, one book just sort of led very naturally to the next, as writing one story would inspire a news story, just as Circle of Quilters inspired the Winding Ways quilt. So since I didn't start out planning to write a series, I never felt locked into the traditional format, the straight chronological, yeah. sometimes formulaic order that you might expect from something called a series. Sometimes I will do something with the core group of characters and pick up right where their previous story left off. But other times I like to take a secondary character from an earlier book and make that person the focus of a whole new story. Or I like to jump far into the past and focus on one of the main character's ancestors. Everything is centered around this community, the Elm Creek Valley and Elm Creek Manor in particular, but I've never felt like I had to stay in a strictly linear chronological format, and that's given me a lot of creative freedom to introduce new settings, introduce new characters, go back in time, jump back and forth between eras, and so it's kept the writing very fun and exciting for me.
Yeah, I would think so. It'd be a lot more fun to be able to go back and forth like that. I would certainly make it more interesting for me, I think, if I were writing a series like this. And gosh, 12, you ever think you'd be...
I had no idea. I don't even know how it happened. I just looked up on my shelf one day and there's 12 books there. Just gradually, you know, over time, just like making a quilt, you know, if you keep at it long enough, there you have a full bookcase or a completed quilt.
And probably, I suppose what might have inspired you the first time around was your own interest in quilting.
Oh, that's true. When new writers are starting out and they're trying to figure what should I write about, we're always told, write what you know. And in my case, I know about quilters. I was a very passionate quilter then, and I still am. And as interested as I am in the quilting art and in quilt history and in folklore, I'm also very intrigued and fascinated by quilters' relationships, not only their relationships between themselves and their art, of course, but also among one another, about how strongly their friendships are and how quickly they develop and how enduring they are. And I think if you talk to quilters, you'll find that they will say that their quilting friendships are some of the strongest and most precious that they have. And that fascinated me, how people from such different backgrounds and across different generations could find themselves united by their mutual love for this traditional art form. And I wanted to explore that in my first book, and it seemed that a lot of people wanted to read about it too.
Well, quilting is, and it's really come on very strong, probably since, I don't know, maybe the 70s or thereabouts. I think it was popular way back, but I think it was around the 70s that it sort of picked up again.
Well, it did. There was a lot of resurging interest in getting back to traditional crafts and handiwork, and so quilts caught on because of that, but also there was a huge explosion of interest because of the bicentennial. There was a renewed interest in Americana. People began going back up to their attics and pulling out all of old grandma's old quilts and thinking about their place in American history and in their own family history. And with that, with more people wanting to learn how to quilt, teachers began brushing off all those old patterns, and magazines grew up to sort of respond to that interest. And then once the national quilt shows started showing everyone what was being done with the art in contemporary times, that yes, there's this wonderful tradition, but contemporary quilt makers are always also doing fantastic things to push the envelope of the art form, then people really began paying more and more attention, and the interest is just increasing over the years.
Is there a difference now in the kind of quilting that's done, the form, the art of it, now versus, 30 years ago?
Well, you'll find
even
that
further back.
Yeah, even further back. A lot of times, further back in the past, quilting was done out of necessity. A lot of scraps from the household sewing were used in making the taking worn clothing and turning them into scraps to make quilts. And you'll find that some quilters still prefer to do that. Today, on the other hand, there's so many wonderful fabrics available that it's very tempting to move beyond that and just go ahead and make a quilt out of all new fabric. But it's one of the amazing things about quilting is that there's really something for everyone on the spectrum, from strict traditionalist to the most avant-garde wanting to do things that have never been done before in textile art. And sometimes you'll find some professional disagreements between the two camps. But what's wonderful is that you can work on a completely traditional quilt, hand piecing and hand quilting every stitch of it. And that same quilter the next month or for the next project might decide to do something that's all rotary cut and machine pieced and embellished with wonderful metallic threads. There's really such an amazing variety of techniques and patterns out there that there's something really to satisfy every interest.
Jennifer Cheverini, our guest today, author of the Elm Creek Quilt Series, which I always have a hard time pronouncing. But her latest book is called The Winding Ways Quilt, and really pleased to have her with us today. You can join in with your questions about the book or about quilting at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Want to talk some more about the book, but before that, you've got a sort of a whole, I don't know, side business that you might call it that has sprung up from your books.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I found that my readers aren't only readers. They're also creative people in their own right. And when they read the stories and they enjoy the characters and they like to imagine themselves going to this quilt camp, well, they want to recreate a lot of the quilts that the characters make in the story, or historic quilts that play an important role in the narrative. And so readers would write to me via email. It's very easy to do that these days. And they would ask for the patterns. So I worked with a quilt publishing company to put out one book of patterns. And then with more novels, I had more quilts to write about. And so now we're up to 3 pattern books. And then also I'm doing fabric lines as well, different fabrics, cotton fabrics designed especially for quilters that are inspired by the different characters in the book. So sometimes I'll take different elements of a setting. There's a lilac garden in one story, and so I made a lilac print to represent one character. Or if it's a historical novel, then I'll draw design or architectural elements from that character's era. But it's a lot of fun to work in this other creative field too. I love writing, and I find that quilting and designing fabrics just adds an extra creative expression, an extra element or a dimension to the stories.
Jennifer Cheverini, author of The Winding Ways Quilt, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the Elm Creek Quilters now with Jennifer Cheverini, who is the author of the Elm Creek Quilt Series, 12 novels. The latest is The Winding Ways Quilt, and we're really pleased to have her with us today. Should mention before I forget about it that she will be at Barnes & Noble on Mineral Point Road in Madison tonight at 7. And then tomorrow night at 7, she will be at the Harry W. Schwartz Bookstore in Brookfield. So if you want to meet her in person, there's great opportunities to do that. If you have a question for her right now, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. Give a call. Someone emailed in and wondered if your books are on tape.
Yes, they are. They are. Some are on tape and some are on CD. And they're put out by Recorded Books. And you can see the complete list of those on the Recorded Books website. Just recordedbooks.com and type in Cheverini and all my books will come up. And they're read by Christina Moore, and she does a fantastic job.
That's wonderful. And you have your own website, right?
That's true. Elmcreek.net. You can see my book tour schedule, pictures of quilts that I've made, pictures from the book tour. So if you've come to see me at one of my book signings, you might actually be on my website.
So that's elmcreek.net?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Karen and Nina has a comment for you. Karen, hi.
Hi there. I have enjoyed all of your books. They are wonderful. You have added such richness to my life.
Oh, thank you so much.
I have read and reread all of the books, and I've gotten your pattern books. Unfortunately, I had 4 eye surgeries, so I haven't been able to do sewing anymore, but I can still read. And so I walk through the patchwork stores, and I enjoy looking at the fabrics. And maybe if I get enough magnifiers, I'll be able to sew again. But your books are a richness in my life.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad that you can quilt vicariously through my characters and enjoy the stories there.
Thank you, Karen, for calling. I really appreciate that comment, and I know Jennifer appreciates it, too.
They are splendid.
Thank you.
They are splendid books. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. And, you know, before we go back to the phones, the Elm Creek Manor itself, as I was reading the description again, I was thinking, oh, man, I wonder where she got the idea or how your description of the manor is great. And I think, God, is there really an Elm Creek Manor out there?
Well, there isn't, but the setting is inspired by a real place in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, which is a community adjacent to State College, which is mm-hmm. where I was teaching at Penn State when I wrote the first book. And there's a red barn built into a hill that has been turned into a community theater, a theater in the round. And the original Bowl Mansion has been turned into a museum, a historical museum. So my manor doesn't really resemble the mansion, but the barn is exactly the same. The grounds are similar. The scary drive on that narrow, winding road through the forest, that's exactly as it was in 1997, the last time I saw it. And so there are parts of it that are drawn from that very real setting, but Elm Creek Manor itself is purely fictional.
Oh, a lot of people, I'm sure, wish...
Yeah, they want me to build it. I've heard from many readers that I need to build Elm Creek Manor so that they can come and visit. But a
couple million bucks, and there you are.
That's all it would take, yeah.
Karen in Portage, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. We're getting Karenitis this morning. I have a mystery for you. Have you ever seen a hexagon tumbling block pattern?
A hexagon tumbling block pattern.
I have been looking anywhere, everywhere. One quilter said, oh, she had some in her book, but then she didn't.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe, was it a hexagon that you've seen, or was it just a placement of diamonds that were shaded?
No, it was a hexagon. And it's so neat because it takes the tumbling block to a whole new level.
I would think it would. Would it be maybe a grandmother's flower garden that was just colored a different way to make it look like tumbling blocks? Could that be it?
No, because that goes all the way around. This is the actual three-dimensionality of the tumbling block, that you have the hexagon, and then the front side of the hexagon is the dark sides. Well, and then it's a diamond in between the hexagons that's really dark. So you're looking at like three colors.
Well, that sounds very interesting, and I can't place it, but I'll tell you what, if anybody listening knows what pattern you're referring to, if they want to send me an email through my website, I'll post it in the blog section so that we can get you that reference. But that's not something that I recall seeing. Okay. But it sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, it does sound really nice. Or give us a call, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890 if you got a comment on that, or about other comments relating to quilts or Jennifer's books. And let's go back to the book, The Winding Ways Quilt, here. We haven't talked too much about it. We started talking a little bit about it, but then we kind of got away from it. And since I'm only on page 75 of, 306 pages or 307 pages, I'm looking forward to finding out.
You got a long way to go.
how everything turns out. Sometimes you have a fair amount of drama in your books, and sometimes there's danger in your books. I'm thinking back some of the history ones that you went back. There was some real dangers. What about this book?
Well, I don't want to give away too much since you're only on page 70 or whatever. But all of these quilters, they came to quilting, and it played a very important role in their emotional lives, whether it was in their childhood or when they were young adults. And so I can say it's safe to say that there's a fair amount of drama involved. There's also some comedy too. So there are quite a few lighthearted elements as well.
Well, I'm glad for that. I'm really glad for that. And I'll be and it's 1 week in the manor. Is that it, or is it the whole? Actually, Do you follow? I guess what I should say is the story starts kind of with the start of a week with and mm-hmm. tell about that.
Well, it's near the end of summer, and quilt camp is about to wrap up for the season. So it's a bit of a bittersweet time for the quilters, and every summer is when they bring quilt camp to a close for the summer, and they'll still see one another because mm-hmm. they live in the same town. But this year, they're not only ending quilt camp for the season, but they are saying goodbye to Judy and Summer. Judy is leaving to take a wonderful position that she's always her dream job in Philadelphia. And Summer, the youngest of the Elm Creek quilters, is leaving to attend graduate school at the University of Chicago. So they know that even though they're welcoming these new members into the circle of quilters, they know that it's never going to be the same. And these quilters have been through so much together, founding their own business, growing it from something very new and something that had never been done before to something that's an important part of the quilting world. It's very difficult for them to accept that they're going to be losing some of their good friends. Of course, they'll stay in touch, but it'll never be the same. So as each quilter is reflecting upon the paths that she's taken in her life, we see what brought them to quilting and what, in some of their cases, might be leading them away from this wonderful business that they've created together.
Well, Judy and Summer, then, are they gone for good, or are they, in terms of your own writing? You don't know.
I'm not sure. Well,
sure
I don't think so.
Shrugging your shoulders,
Evan? I think they're characters that are very special to me, and I've been with them for so long. They've been with a part of the series for so mm-hmm. long, and I know they have some very intense fans that would not be happy with me if we never heard from Judy or Summer again. So I'm sure we will. I'm sure they'll keep in touch. And who knows, maybe they will get their own stories in their new locations. It would be wonderful to tell some kind of a historical quilting story that Judy discovers in Philadelphia. And of course, Summer is going off to Chicago to become a historian. So there's all kinds of possibilities for wonderful stories starring Summer. So I'm fairly sure that we'll see them again, although I haven't started any new books where they play a major role yet.
Oh, and yeah, this book's out. And are you starting on another one?
Oh, I have to. I always have quite a few things going on at the same time. I have another holiday book coming out in October. And I know that after the Christmas quilt and the New Year's quilt, people are probably assuming it's going to be the Thanksgiving quilt, but it's not. maybe someday, but not this year. My book coming out in October is called The Quilter's Kitchen, an Elm Creek Quilts novel with recipes.
Oh.
So this is a special treat for all of those readers who have been asking me for the recipes that I've mentioned in the books, especially that apple strudel that I talk about at great length in the Christmas quilt. Readers have been asking me for that recipe since 2005 when the book came out. And then often I'll talk about a special family tradition or a dish that the quilters enjoy. Well, now, responding to readers' requests, as I always try to do, I'm a middle child, I like to try to make everybody happy. We'll have a novel with some of those wonderful dishes, and they aren't my recipes. I was put in touch with a wonderful food writer, Sally Sampson, who has some great cookbooks out. Her soups cookbook is mine and my editor's favorite. They're fantastic. And she wrote the recipes for all of these dishes that I mentioned, and I wrote the fiction. And it's a great combination that I hope readers will look forward to in October.
Well, it sounds like from the book and the Winding Ways quilt that there will be some requests for recipes from this particular book because there's a new chef on board.
That's true. One of the new characters who is really just joining Elm Creek Manor at the end of the season. Her name is Anna, and she's a wonderful chef. And she's also a quilter, too. And for some reason, all of her quilts always end up looking like food. One of the Elm Creek quilters says that one of her quilt blocks looks like a tossed salad, and any other quilter might be insulted, but Anna says, you know, you're right. So Anna has all kinds of wonderful dishes that she wants to bring to Elm Creek Manor, and she wants to treat all the quilt campers to. And yet at the same time, she wants to preserve all of those wonderful traditions, both from Sylvia's family, who founded Elm Creek Farm and Elm Creek Manor so many years ago, back to all of those favorites that the quilt campers are already enjoying. And so Anna, of course, plays an important role, not only in the Winding Ways mm-hmm. quilt, but also in the Quilter's Kitchen. Because in that story, she's really trying to find her way. She's a newcomer to this tightly knit group. And although they're very great, nice people, and they're very welcoming, it's hard to be the new kid when yeah. they've been through so much together. So the Quilter's Kitchen tells Anna's story of how she's trying to break into this circle and find her own place among them.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see that there's even a little almost resentment on the part of one or two people in the crew.
Well, Diane is having some trouble saying goodbye. So she likes the new people. There's nothing that she dislikes about them, but she wants things to stay the same. She wants her Winding Way to come to an end and everybody to stay exactly right there. She doesn't want to divert down a different path. And so it's a challenge for Diane to accept that people are going to, good friends are coming and going in her life. And so she, I think out of all of the characters, she has the most trouble resolving that conflict. She wants to welcome these new people that she likes, but at the same time, she's having a very difficult time saying goodbye.
Jennifer Chevariti, our guest today, excuse me, give us a call if you have a question or comment as we talk with her about the Elm Creek Quilters and her latest book, The Winding Ways Quilt, at 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Sylvia Bergstrom is the kind of the person who ties things together, isn't she?
I really think she is. I really consider her the main character of all the stories. Some people think Sarah's the main character, but in my viewpoint, I think Sylvia, her mentor, is. And Sylvia isn't based upon anybody that I know in real life, but I think she's the quilting mentor I wish I had had when I was learning to quilt. I'm a self-taught quilter. I bought a booklet called Teach Yourself How to Quilt, and I followed the step-by-step instructions until I learned the basics, and then I had to go on from there. But I think Sylvia, she's even when she doesn't take the protagonist role in a book, when I've let a secondary character become the main character, even then her influence is strongly present. And because she's such a figure of admiration mm-hmm. and sometimes intimidation to mm-hmm. all of the other characters in the story.
Well, let's take some more calls. Helen and Saner, it's your turn. Hi, Helen. Thanks for calling.
Well, this is quite an opportunity. Yes, I'm calling in regard to one of your previous callers who was looking for the tumbling block quilt pattern.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have one. It's right before my very eyes, and I would be very happy to send her a copy of it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's also called a baby's block. This quilt has many names, such as tumbling blocks, stepping stones, baby blocks. So maybe the lady didn't have the right title because there's so many names for this pattern. So anyhow, I would like to send off a copy of it to this lady that called.
Well, I tell you what, I'll put you on hold, and I'll have Jim Packard get your address. And
I think it's possible that maybe I misunderstood the first caller, but it sounded to me as if she was asking for a very particular variation.
Oh, of that?
Right, because the usual tumbling blocks pattern, it is made up of diamonds, but she was asking for something that was made of hexagons rather than the traditional, if I understood her correctly, because she was asking about hexagonal ones.
I think you're right. And as far as you know, none of those exist.
Well, I'm sure she's seen it. She's seen it somewhere. Excuse me, but I'm not exactly sure where. And that might be it might be a contemporary quilter's innovative design, in which case there would be copyright restrictions against copying the pattern and giving it to someone else. But unless I misunderstood the original caller, she was asking for a specific variation of that pattern, not the traditional pattern, which is public domain, and she can find it in any number of quilting pattern books as well as online.
Okay, well, that makes some sense then. Well, I'm wondering about we're talking about traditional and so forth. And I guess the original quilts were all sewn by hand, weren't they?
Well, before the invention of the sewing machine, that
obviously
was how you got it done. But yeah, quilters have been using sewing machines ever since the first sewing machine came out. Both for piecing the blocks together as well as for quilting the three layers. So machine quilting, it's considered to be a very contemporary variation upon the quilting art, but really it's been with us for a very long time.
I was reading an article somewhere about the whole business, and there were some people who were kind of purists about not using the sewing machines, but now lots of people use sewing machines.
Oh, yes. Anything goes. You can hand piece blocks and then machine quilt the top or go back and forth. But you will find some people who never like to hand piece. They never like to do anything by hand. They love to do everything by machine. And then you'll find other people who just enjoy the slower process of doing everything from threading the needle to cutting the pieces to sewing them all together by hand. A lot of people like to jump between the two different ways of doing things or combine the two, but there's not a lot of judgment going on. You know, you're allowed to do whatever it is that you enjoy the most. And it used to be more controversial, I think, between hand quilting versus machine quilting. But now people are, I think maybe because they've seen so many beautiful works created by machine that are just as beautiful, although different, of course, by their very nature, than works that were created entirely by hand. I think there's a lot more play between the two camps and not so much controversy.
What do you do?
I prefer to machine piece, and if I can, I like to hand quilt my tops. But usually I run right up against a deadline, and I have to get that quilt finished. And I have a friend who in Monona, Sue Volbrecht, and she owns a business, Quilting Memories. And she has been quilting all of my tops for many years now. And she does such a fantastic, beautiful job that I haven't quilted my own tops in a long time. I just know that Sue, with her own artistry and creativity, is just going to bring this whole new dimension to the top that I hadn't considered, that I consider it a wonderful collaboration, and I think I'm just going to be giving all my tops to Sue from now on.
How about Carol in Cambridge with a question here? Hi, Carol.
Well, hello. I'm just calling as a reference for the hexagonal tumbling block,
and I just
wanted to lend that it's my understanding that all of the tumbling blocks, either baby block or the pathway quilt that was mentioned earlier, all of those are six-sided. So, yes, indeed, they are all hexagonal.
Well, if you sew three of the
diamonds together,
then you do have a hexagon. So that's why I thought perhaps it was the shading of the different fabric pieces that made it look like they were only hexagons. But
if you would do shading, you can create and give dimensionality to it so that it looks actually like something that would be pop art. So if I use, for instance, grays and black and white, you can give it a very optical illusion that it's 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the tumbling blocks would be hexagonal. Now, if perhaps, as you mentioned, she was talking about a flower garden, where it would just be the hexagonal piece used all in the same color. But I think she was referring to the tonality, wherein you would use three contrasting colors that would give it the dimensional effect.
Yeah, I suspect you're right. But if somebody else knows of some very different, unique block that would exactly fit this this original caller's description, then I sure would love to know. I'm intrigued. I want to see what it is.
No, there are variations of the tumbling block wherein you would use a small diamond at the top and then two long rectangles with tapered ends to create almost, you could, for instance, create buildings. And that's an option, but all of the tumbling blocks do have six sides, so I just wanted to
put that in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Clarify that, because that may eliminate part of the curiosity about the search.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks very much, Carol, for calling. I appreciate it. Well, it is one of those little mysteries
that
may turn up in an Elm Creek story someday.
You never know.
You never know. Well, Jennifer, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's been great to be here.
And again, you will be at Barnes & Noble on Mineral Point Road in Madison tonight at 7. And then tomorrow you will be at Harry W. Schwartz Bookstore in Brookfield.
That's right. And I'm looking forward to hearing lots of great quilt stories from my readers there too.
Do you read a little bit at those nights? Huh?
I do. I read and I do a Q&A, and readers sometimes bring their quilts to share. And that's always a lot of fun to get an impromptu quilt show right there in the bookstore.
That sounds great. And your website again is?
Elmcreek.net.
Always fun, and I'll finish the book tonight, and look forward to the next book.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer Cheverini, author of The Winding Ways Quilt, the 12th. It's the 12th novel in her series of Elm Creek quilt stories. Really fun to have her with us, and we'll have her back. Next time she's got a book out, she'll be here. Tomorrow we'll take a look at a couple of things, but I know one of them will have to do with digital cameras. Stay with us. Lots in store.